Well, we're back. This is Karen Testerman, and in studio, I have my husband, Dave Testerman, as my co-host today. And just before the break, Judah, you were explaining to us how you decided to start your organization.
And after I'd spoken for so many years, I thought, oh my gosh, there's a desperate need for society to know the truth. They've been lied to. In fact, Roe v. Wade was based on a lie. Instead of throwing that out of court because it wasn't a rape case, they proceeded, and now abortion is legal. So my organization was formed, and there's no other organization like it. It's formed to help women and children of rape conception to restore honor and dignity. We help financially when someone is pregnant through rape. We also help them financially after they've given birth and they want to raise the child. A woman, as I was laying my mother to rest this past Friday, a young woman who had been drugged and raped had an emergency C-section and gave birth to a little boy. She named him Judah, which means praise unto God, but she had named him this before she ever met me. So what God is doing in this organization is beyond my imagination. I've met so many people that have stories that nobody wants to hear, but they're true. 12-year-old gives birth to her father's child, places the child for adoption, and today she has no regrets for giving birth to the child because the child is innocent. And so because of the myths and the lies and the prejudice against women and children of rape conception, I started this organization. It's called Choices for Life, Choices number 4, Life. And it's choicesforlife.org if anybody's interested. And for anybody who may be listening and has had this happen to them, you shouldn't live with the shame because the shame doesn't belong to the woman and the child. See, society says kill the child, but they're killing the evidence and they're letting the rapist go free. So when somebody says that I'm pro-rape, and yes, they do, I tell them, no, you are pro-rape because you're letting the rapist go free and you're killing an innocent person and insulting their mother. Because when a woman is pregnant, we don't normally dissect the father to determine whether she should keep that baby. We just go, oh, when's your baby due? When's your baby due? The child belongs to the mother. And society needs to accept that. And to stop insulting women after they have been brutally raped. And then tell them, oh, so the man stole the woman's body, and now society wants to steal her child. How compassionate is that? People just aren't thinking. Because they think it's compassionate to get rid of the baby. It's not. I've talked to women who are suicidal after 7 years. This one woman I'm talking to. Because she listened to society and had that abortion. This has got to stop.
You bring up a very good point there, Judah, in the fact that it's supposed to be a quick fix for society and what we tend to say, oh, well, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't want to keep the baby. You don't know what you would really want to do when you're in that situation. But the other thing that happens so often, and this is the side of the story that's very rarely told or accepted, and that is that once you go through and realize what it is that you've done in proceeding forward with an abortion, that there are side effects. And sometimes even if you don't realize that that's what you've done, that you've taken a human life, you still go through those side effects. Your body knows, and your soul knows, if nothing else, that yeah. You've taken a human life and that you've destroyed it. And so many of these women go through years of depression and, as you say, suicidal. Many of them commit suicide, or they become alcoholics or drug dependent. So, you know, that's
sterile.
That's true, too.
There's a woman I know that she had an abortion, and then she had 4 miscarriages afterwards. And she says she recalls as a teenager she was having this abortion because she was raped. And she was told by the nurse that this haunting voice came back to her many, many years later. She says, consider whether you want to do this or not, because you may never have another child. And she had 4 miscarriages and has never been able to carry a child to term.
Wow. And then the other side of that is, too, and it doesn't just happen. I mean, obviously it wouldn't happen necessarily with rape, because the man isn't doing his actions because he really cares about the woman. It's demeaning to the woman in many cases. But there are situations where abortions occur and the fathers don't know about it. And when they find out, they feel destroyed as well, because they would have stepped up to the plate in some cases, and other cases not. But they still, those men who find out about their children and would love to have had those children also are affected by this
right.
negative action. So
now, there's so many lies in the surrounding abortion. It was based on a lie, like I said, Roe v. Wade, based on a lie, and the lies have perpetuated. You know, they just keep going on and on and on, and almost increasing.
Now, I am aware that I can't think of his name, the doctor that was testifying in that case, made up statistics about abortions being back alley and so forth like that. But you're talking about a different lie. Would you bring our audience up to date on what that particular lie is?
Well, if you're talking about just the back alley coat hanger abortions, in 1956, when I was conceived, my mother was at a hospital, and the doctor there said, I'll take care of it. There was no coat hanger. There was no sleazy back alley. This guy was going to do it in a hospital. So this has been going on. But you know what? The fact is that I was just talking to somebody who was supposed to be my friend literally moments before this interview. And I was asking her if she would help me with a debate that we're doing. She said that she believes that the woman ought to have a choice. Oh my gosh, are we not thinking? This is my life that you say you value, yet you're telling me that it would be okay if my mother would have killed me. People aren't thinking. And so I need people to think these things through, not just go with regurgitation. People hear the same thing over and over and over and over. It has to stop. First off, since we started with the lie of rape conception being the reason why we have to have abortion, that has to be addressed first. And while everybody is being pro-life for 99%, the so-called 1% is being left as sacrifice. And if they just saved that one person, then all abortions legally would end. The thing is that most people are not saying, there's more than 1%, and most of them are not telling anyone that they were raped. I know several people that had abortions in cases of rape and never said a word. So there's so many lies involved with this. One of them is that these children will not be wanted. Well, I just told you an example in New Hampshire of a woman who had a disabled child. But even if that woman didn't want her child, there are people who want to adopt. I know a person who has a disabled, rape-conceived child that she adopted. I just want the lies to stop. This is a huge passion of mine, is we are set free by the truth, and I'm hoping to free mothers and children of rape conception with that truth.
Well, Judah, I'm looking at a picture on your Facebook account right now, and I'm thinking, not only are we telling people that you shouldn't be alive, people like you and Rebecca Kiesling, these little the children that you've helped their mothers go through their and have their babies and give them up for adoption when in various cases. But I'm looking at your picture, and what we would have been saying is that I see 4 little boys there and 2 young men with you in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have been saying to all of them that they didn't deserve to live.
Right.
We wouldn't have had those people that are contributing to our society, making up the next generations, carrying on what is this concept of America to future generations and to existence. We would have said they weren't worth anything.
Right. And we're not demon children. Because so many think, well, if you have a rapist child, then that child is going to become, you know, this horrible creature. I dare people to go to choicesforlife.org and look at the faces of those who are conceived in rape. Pastors, lawyers, doctors, chemists, professors, there's music teacher. There's all, every kind of person imaginable. We do not... we're not in a category that is demonic all by itself. We're human. Thus, at any point, we can choose to be evil. And it doesn't mean just because of how we were conceived that we are doomed to be evil. And I want people to understand that. And the ones who are created in incest, they're not freaks of nature, like everybody thinks. I have met all these people, and because I'm a speaker, because I go all over the place, and I talk about my story, but I talk about everybody else's story. This is not just about my story. This is about everybody's story, because if I'm not valuable as a human being, what makes you valuable as a human being? We are devaluing humans, period. That's why we have all of the killings. That's why there's just so much depression. There is so much that we could eliminate by valuing our Creator and valuing His creation. I think that's the platform that we can live free in this life. Because if you don't know that you were created by God and you fall for some lie that you were created by pond scum or an ape, what value do you have in that? What purpose do you have? What meaning? You have none.
Well, Judah, we're up against the clock again, and I'd love to come back and find out what you have in the future planned. And this is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics. I almost forgot who I was, George.
Happens to the best of us.
I know.
I know I can never forget who you are, Karen.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very honoring. But we'll be back after a short break. Well, this is Karen Testerman back with Judah Myers from Choices 4, the number 4, life.org. And I was just looking at your website, and you have a video up there that says that Ireland testifies that abortion never saves the life of a mother. Would you explain that?
You got to love that, because everybody says, well, even in the case of a mother's life, you've got to have that abortion. Well, it has been proven that you can attempt to save both lives. Why go ahead and think, well, we're just gonna end this life of this baby? Most of the time, it's towards the end of the pregnancy, and there are many times when this baby can be saved along with its mother. So why not try to save the mother and the child? Just carte blanche saying, just abort. Ireland doesn't want to stand for that. And I know recently there's been controversy about a woman who was refused an abortion because the doctor told her she was going, that baby was going to die, but he would not abort the child. But the problem here is not the abortion. The problem is that the doctor failed to take care of his patient when that baby did die. If he would have just done the normal D&C and treated his patient the way other doctors treat their patients when that baby is, has died, she would live. But instead, he just left her on her own, and she got an infection and died. So now people in Ireland who are trying to push abortion are using that as a case, but it's not. It's never. Killing a baby never saves a mother's life. That's what they say.
interesting because we keep saying, as you say, in the case of the life of the mother, and it's just really a loophole for people to go ahead and extinguish another human life, one that was conceived or that was created in the image of our Lord. So I commend you for having these sorts of things on your website, because it's very informative to find out that a lot of, as you say, misconceptions are out there, and it's time to dispel them and realize that what we're doing is taking on human life. But Judy, now we have the March for Life coming up in Washington, D.C. Are you doing anything special with that?
I'm not going to be in D.C. this year. I'm going to be in Iowa, working with concerned women.
Oh, and what's going on there?
They are having me talk to legislators and also a lot of different meetings in Des Moines. And then also I'm going to be in the March for Life in Idaho, in Boise. So I'll be in Boise on Saturday and Des Moines on Sunday.
Well, it's time to take another quick break. That clock is like Cinderella's clock striking midnight. But this is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics. In studio with me is my substitute co-host, Dave Testerman. And we have been talking with Judah Meyer of Choices for the number 4 Life. Judah was conceived in rape and is a wonderful contribution to society. So we'll be back after this short break.